In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. And let the children come to me. Now, did it ever happen to you to get yourself in trouble? You know what? It also happened to me. It also happened to me to get myself in trouble just because of myself. Not of anybody else. It was my mistake. And because of my mistake, I got myself in trouble. Now, I want to ask you another question. Why? What do you think? Why do we get ourselves in trouble?
We don't want to listen.
Because we don't want to listen.
It's part of life.
It's part of life. Yes, it is. It is part of life. What else? Why do we get ourselves in trouble? What should we do to keep ourselves out of trouble? We should try and respect and do everything that our parents tell us to do. That's a good point. That's a good point. Now, I think what you said is very true. And I also think we get ourselves in trouble because we don't know to control ourselves. Do you know what that means, to control yourself?
Do you? It's when you try not to do something that you shouldn't be supposed to do.
That's a very good answer. That's what means, you know, to control yourself. To be able to know not to do what you are not supposed to do. On the other hand, I think that also to control yourself, it means to do what you're supposed to do. Don't you think so? So to control ourselves, it means on the one hand, to stay away from what we're not supposed to do, and to do what we are supposed to do. Now the Bible tells us that after God created Adam and Eve, the Bible tells us that after God created Adam and Eve, they got themselves in trouble because they didn't know to control themselves. And God tried to teach Adam and Eve how to control themselves. What do you think? How did God try to teach Adam and Eve to control themselves?
To do what they're supposed to do.
And more specifically, what did God ask Adam and Eve to do in order to learn to control themselves? Louder. God asked Adam and Eve not to eat from one tree in the Garden of Eden. After God created Adam and Eve, He placed them in a beautiful garden that God planted, and God asked Adam and Eve to eat of any tree but one. What do you want to say, Anna? Yes, that's very true. After they ate from that tree, their life became a lot harder. Now that's what also happens to us. After we do something that we are not supposed to do, is our life getting better or harder? Easier, better, or harder, more difficult?
Harder.
And more difficult, of course. So, God tried to teach Adam and Eve how to control themselves by telling them that if they learn to control what they eat, they would learn to control themselves. That's one of the reasons why God asked Adam and Eve not to eat from that tree. Because God wanted Adam and Eve to learn to control themselves, because as you said, it happens in life that we are tempted. It happens in life that we are tempted to do what we are not called to do. And God knew that Adam and Eve will have to fight against these temptations. What do you want to say?
If they had a baby, and they knew how to control themselves, they would know how to teach their children more good. If they had a baby and they knew how to control themselves.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true, because if we don't know how to control ourselves, we cannot teach our children how to control themselves. Sophia, what did you want to say? That's why we are called not to eat meat on Wednesdays and Fridays. That's why we have these periods in the life of the church of Lent. Like today is the beginning of Nativity Lent. Did you know that? In 40 days from now, we are going to celebrate what? Christmas. In 40 days from today, we are going to celebrate Christmas. And today is the first day of Nativity Lent. This is a time, again, when we are called to work together with God to learn to control ourselves, to learn to control our eating habits. We talked for the last couple of Sundays about looking after our bodies, about looking after our souls, and we are called now to apply everything that we learned, to do everything that we learned about looking after our bodies and our souls. Now let me ask you something else. To control ourselves, so we could see that if we know to control ourselves, we could stay out of trouble. Can you give me some examples? When you could get in trouble if you don't know to control yourself? Steven?
When you are mad.
That's a very good example. When you are mad, if you don't know to control yourself, what could happen?
You could burst,
you could break something, you know, you could break relationships. You could say words that could hurt the people around you, and you could break, you know, very beautiful friendships. Another example.
Not knowing what to do.
Yes, sometimes we don't know what to do. And
sometimes we don't realize because we're doing something bad.
Yes.
And we don't realize because we're hurting somebody around us.
Yes. Now, can you give me some examples?
Not them, like, giving scars, but, like, their feelings.
So you gave me some examples of how we could get ourselves in trouble if we don't know to control ourselves. Can you give me some examples of how we could get better if we know to control ourselves?
Know what to do.
Hmm? You know what to do. Can you give me an example? Let me ask you something else. Do you play any instruments or any sports?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ana Maria? Do you play an instrument or do you play a sport? Or both?
Mm-hmm.
Both. Okay. Now, is it important to know to control yourself for playing an instrument?
Yes.
What could happen if you don't know to control yourself when you play an instrument? Are you going to play a beautiful music? It would be a very ugly music if you just go. What instrument do you play?
Piano.
You know, if you go on the piano like that,
yeah.
Boom, 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 all over the place. Is that beautiful music? No. You have to know to control yourself. And to play the piano in the way the teacher teaches you to play the piano. That means you know to control yourself. And not to just go. Or when you play a sport. Do you play a sport? What do you play?
Basketball.
How could you become a better basketball player if you know to control yourself? First of all, how do you have to control yourself to be a good basketball player?
know what you're doing.
Okay. To louder. To know your teammates and to play together with your teammates. You know that if you play together with your teammates, you have more chances to win. But sometimes, you know, you want to play it on your own. You know, to show how good you are. That happens to us. That's, you know, our instinct of showing off, of being proud. But we know that if we pass the ball to another player who is closer to the basket, we have more chances to win the game. What else? You know, if you, let's say, you know, if you have a big lunch or dinner before the game, and you eat a lot of sweet stuff and you drink a lot, you know, are you going to have a good game? Can you see how controlling even what we eat helps us being a better basketball player or any kind of player? What else?
You have to share everything. You don't eat all the stuff. You have to give some to the others.
You have to share. That's very good. And about sharing, we'll talk next Sunday. I guess it's enough for today. Stephen, do you have anything else to add?
You should share food with other players so they have energy, so when you pass to them, they can maybe score it too.
Yes, that's very important, you know, to share your food with the other players so that everybody eats a little bit and everybody has enough energy to play the game. So can you see how important it is, you know, how important it is to control ourselves, to stay out of trouble, on the one hand, and on the other hand, to get better and better. And because it is the beginning of Nativity Land, and because the Bible reveals to us, the Bible shows us that if we learn, do you copy? If we learn to control what we eat, we are a lot more likely to be able to control ourselves. What I would highly recommend to you during this Nativity Lent is to think, and I want you to think now about a food or a drink that you know that you are eating or drinking and is not good for you. Think about it for 5 seconds. You don't have to tell me. Just think about it, okay? Did you find one food or one drink that you like but is not good for you? Maybe some junk food or some junk drink, or did you find one? I would highly recommend to you to try to avoid it during this Nativity Lent. Do you want to learn to control yourself? Or do you want to be the slave of that junk food or junk drink? Do you want to get stronger? Do you?
Yes.
Do you want to get better?
Yes.
Do you want to be free?
Yes.
That's what God also wants for all of us. Not to be enslaved, you know, not to be the slaves of that food or that drink that's not good for us, that's not giving us health, but to be free from it. To learn, you know, to control ourselves and to say, no, I can stay away from you. You are not my master. I can stay away from you. Not to have an addiction, that's a very good point, because if you learn now to stay away from some food or some drink that is not good to you, you'll have a lot more chances to stay away from addictions. Do you know what an addiction is? When we can't avoid something, a food or a drink or a habit or drugs or alcohol. If you learn now to stay away from something that you like, if you learn now to control yourself, you have a lot more chances to stay away from drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and any bad stuff that's ruining our health and our life. Do you want to be free?
Yes.
Let's be free. God bless you. Anything else, Anna? Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And,
yeah. For you, yes. For now. That's another thing. You know, to stay away from. We'll talk about that another time. But I think it is very important for you now to learn to stay away from one food or one drink that is not good for you for 40 days. Do you want to do that?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Christ is among us. An electrician was supposed to come home at 5 and to have supper with his wife. But it happened that at 4:30, there was a power outage and his team had to go to fix that problem. Instead of getting home at 5, he got home at 9. But his wife, when he got home, his wife was still waiting for him with supper because she wanted to have supper with him. On the other hand, on the way home, he drove by McDonald's and he was very hungry. And he really wanted, you know, to go in, to grab a hamburger, and to eat it on the way home. Because he had to drive for about half an hour. But he said, no. Because I know that my wife loves me, and she will wait for me. And indeed, when he got home, she has been waiting for him for 4 hours to have supper together. I tell you this story today because last Sunday, in our discussion about preparation for receiving Holy Communion, we didn't get a chance to talk about fasting. And it is the recommendation of the Church that if we want to receive Holy Communion every Sunday, we should take the Lenten periods in the life of the Church seriously. We should take the Wednesdays and Fridays seriously, and also we should try not to eat anything from the night before, like from Saturday night if we want to receive Holy Communion on Sunday. Why this? Why not to eat or drink anything before receiving Holy Communion? Because when we receive Holy Communion, we get into this deep, loving communion with God. When we receive Holy Communion, when we prepare ourselves to receive Holy Communion, we are called to forget about ourselves and to become one with the one who forgot about himself, left his Father and the Holy Spirit and the heaven behind, and came down to us and became one with us. He forgot about himself. We are called to forget about ourselves so that the loving communion is realized. We are called, like that husband and that wife, to forget about ourselves and to have supper together, to wait for each other and to be hungry for each other, to be hungry and thirsty for God. Every time we partake Christ's body and blood, every time we participate in the Holy Liturgy, we are transposed into the heavenly banquet. Every time the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is offered to us, every time we participate in the liturgy, we participate in the heavenly liturgy where Christ is offering his body and his blood to us, and the saints of heaven and earth are waiting for us anxiously to have supper with us. Can you imagine that? Christ and the saints waiting anxiously for us to have supper with us. Could we eat alone at home just before participating in this supper? It is about love. It is about offering ourselves to God in love. Another reason for fasting before receiving Holy Communion, it is because when we are fasting, we are more of ourselves. We are more vigilant. You know, especially after having, you know, a big breakfast or a big lunch or whatever you name it, we are more likely to fall asleep. And we don't like people sleeping in church. If we don't eat, we're more watchful. We are more ourselves. That's why, by the way, when we are to do a medical test, the doctor tells us not to eat or drink anything before the test, because the doctor wants to see exactly who we are and where we are in our physical health. The doctor wants to know us as we are, not as the food that we've just eaten or the drink we've just drunk made us to be. So God wants us to come to Him as we are, with our best self, not transformed or affected by food or drink, but to come as we really are. This is why the Bible, from the beginning to the end, reveals this fasting to us. This is why, as I told the children, from the book of Genesis, God asked Adam and Eve to stay in communion with Him by abstaining from eating from a specific tree. This is why, so many times in the Old Testament, God proclaimed a fast to the whole nation through a prophet. Because God wanted the whole nation to become itself again and to come back into communion with Him. This is why Moses, when he went on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and he was in the presence of God, he was in communion with God, for 40 days and nights he didn't drink or eat anything. And that's why, by the way, our Lenten periods are 40 days. Nativity Lent and Great Lent. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ Himself fasted for 40 days and nights before He started His ministry. Because He wanted to offer His human nature and His human body, assumed by Him, to God. To bring them in communion with God. And this is why we are called to offer ourselves to God and to say, "Here I am, Lord, how I am, without eating or drinking, but just me, just my very being, here I am, ready to get into communion with you." Having said all of this, I also want to emphasize that we are called to apply this very general recommendation of the church at a very personal level. Because each of us are called to have one common relationship with God and one personal relationship with God. And if we try to apply the same rule to everybody or the same recommendation to everybody, that's not healing. You know, if a doctor applies the same treatment to everybody, that's not a doctor, that's a butcher. It's just cutting in the same size. We have to apply these recommendations at a personal level and to do our best. A young child, it might be too much for a young child not to eat or drink anything before receiving Holy Communion. But after about the age of 7 again, or maybe even earlier, according to the strength of the child, we could start to teach the child, you know, do you want to offer yourself to God? God offered Himself to you. Do you want to offer yourself to Him and to wait for Him and not to have breakfast? pregnant women, of course, you know, they have, you know, if they have to breastfeed, or, you know, for people who are sick, people who are old, they have to do it according to their own strength. Each of us has to do it according to his or her own strength. But all of us are called to offer ourselves and our best to God. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.